everyone has a sort of worldview and ideology. And someone like Steve Mnuchin, people like this have an ideology. And it's ingrained. It's not like going to switch on a dime because he's with Trump. His ideology is money at all costs.
You're listening to The Corbett Report.
Welcome, friends. James Corbett here, CorbettReport.com. Today is the 7th of December, 2016, and today we are talking once again to our old friend Michael Krieger of LibertyBlitzkrieg.com, who you will no doubt remember from interview 1154 of this podcast, where we were talking about Eric Prince. And if you don't remember it, please go back in the archives and take a look at it. I'll put it in the show notes so you can listen to that conversation, which is oddly becoming somewhat relevant again in this era of the Trump presidency. And speaking of which, we're talking to Michael Krieger today about that very topic, specifically about the incoming Trump administration's choice of Steven Mnuchin as Treasury Secretary. An interesting choice indeed, and one that, well, I think Michael Krieger will be particularly well poised to talk about. Mike, thank you once again for coming back on the program.
Oh, hey, James. Great to be back on with you. Very much looking forward to this conversation.
All right. Well, as I'm sure the listeners probably remember, and if not, they'll learn right now, you yourself were on Wall Street for a number of years, so you know about the game and how it's played and the players and the scuttlebutt on a lot of the players. So I was interested to get your take on Mnuchin and his appointment as Treasury Secretary under Trump. And, well, it doesn't look very good. And let's just go by the title of the post that I'll direct people to right now. There will be swamp. Steve Mnuchin confirms Treasury Secretary nod. Swamp? Why? Who is Steve Mnuchin? Where does he come from? Why should we be scared of him as the helm of the Treasury?
Right. So, okay. So a little background on him. His father was a Goldman Sachs partner. Then he became a Goldman Sachs partner. Now, for me, having been on Wall Street for 10 years, as you mentioned, if someone works on Wall Street, you know, it doesn't make them like completely evil or incapable of taking government position. However, becoming a Goldman Sachs partner is a very different thing. It's a very different commitment. It's a very different time period. It's a lot of things beyond just working at a bank for a while and doing okay. He was dedicated to it, obviously, fully all in. So there's that. Now the Goldman thing, interestingly enough, to me is the least concerning part of his resume. After leaving Goldman, he started a company in 2002 called Dune Capital. Actually, that's not correct. In 2002, he joined a credit fund launched by George Soros. Then in 2004, with some Soros money, he started Dune Capital. Then fast forward to the financial crisis, he saw a wonderful opportunity to partner with the government in crony capitalism, get a sweetheart deal to buy a lender that was particularly egregious as far as subprime loans and just crazy irresponsible lending. And he bought that from the government with a sweetheart deal with a bunch of partners, again, some Soros-backed funds, and went on and renamed it to be a company called One West. And from then on, engaged in some of the most egregious foreclosure practices in the entire industry. And that's saying a lot. We're talking about particularly pernicious practices with regard to elderly people, minorities. This is all factually proven. In fact, it was so bad that in 2011, protesters actually specifically went to the lawn of his $26 million mansion in Bel Air, California, to protest a particular foreclosure on a lady. So it's not like, you know, he was just one part of a big machine taking advantage of the American people after the crisis, which he was. He was particularly bad about it. There was no evidence of any sort of let's try to help people out. Let's try to limit foreclosures. His company, One West, was particularly aggressive in doing the foreclosures. So he has a really nasty history, and particularly a nasty history of not looking out for the average person, and in fact taking advantage of the average person to make incredible sums of money, which he did from the One West transaction, which later merged or was sold into CIT. So that's just a bit of the history. And one of the things I want to take a step back and say is, as far as, you know, like for me, I'm not one of these people who focuses on George Soros as like the mastermind behind everything. That's just not, I just don't see the world that way. In particular, there's tons of bad oligarchs out there. But here's the hypocrisy that bothers me. People that, if a Hillary Clinton appointee had these kind of ties, we would never hear the end of it. Soros puppet, George, right? But a lot of Trump supporters are pretending this didn't happen. And so my thing is, look, be consistent. Don't be a cheerleader. If this, what you have to look at things, if you were against Hillary, which I was, I wasn't pro Trump, but I was very much against Hillary. You have to say, if Hillary did the same things that Trump did, how would you respond? And if your response is vastly different, you are a hypocrite.
Give her 100 days.
Yeah, exactly. Like, no one would be doing that. Wait till she does something, you know? I mean, look, as you know, James, for me, when I knew Obama was a fraud, and I had hopes for him, you know, I drank some of that Kool-Aid because I wanted to believe. As soon as he appointed Timothy Geithner and Larry Summers, I knew it was over. And it was over, right? That was a good leading indicator that Obama would be a fraud. People equal policy. I've been saying that forever. It's true. And so that's why I'm concerned about Trump right now. I don't want him to fail. I want him to do all the things, a lot of the things he said. I don't want him to do other things he said. But I want him to be a populist guy. But this is not a good sign, in my opinion.
Well, I'm in the position, I lived through that 2008 transition, doing my podcast, pointing out that, no, he is funded, he's number one backers are Wall Street, he's a part of the system, he's appointing all system people, and I heard the backlash from the Obama Hope and Change believers at the time, so it's absolutely no surprise to me that I'm seeing the same backlash from the Trump and Change believers right now, but putting on the devil's advocate cap, or the Donald advocate cap in this case, and trying to make the case, well, okay, yes, Mnuchin has had some shady dealings in the past, and yeah, he worked for Goldman, and yeah, he had this involvement with some shady practices and the foreclosures, but that was in the past, and, I mean, these days he's really more of a Hollywood investor, a producer of big-budget Hollywood movies. He's kind of left that in the past. Why should we be dredging up this history that now, in the case of Goldman, is what, 14 years in the past?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So a few things. So number one, it's interesting that you mentioned the Hollywood thing, because I suggest your viewers go look into that. I think the company is called Relativity Media or something like that. Anyways, total failure, had huge losses. It folded. He kind of snuck out the back door right before that. By the way, paying back a $50 million loan to One West right before that company went under. So there's some stuff there too. I mean, essentially everywhere you look with Mnuchin, there's something a little bit shady. But as far as if you're going to say, if you want to make the argument that, okay, well, this is the past. Now Trump is hiring, right, like a Wall Street mercenary to make America great again. There are two things that I would push back on. Number one, myself personally, there were things I liked about Trump, and there were things I hated about Trump. One of the things that concerned me the entire election was the fact that I never believed that he really didn't like Wall Street or had problems with the financial system. I thought a lot of that talk, specifically towards the end of the campaign, was Bannon, Steve Bannon driven and not what Trump really believed. And I wrote that. I mean, I wrote that on several occasions. So as someone that worked on Wall Street, kind of knows how these people think. The evidence was not clear that Trump was opposed to the bankster rule. You know, it didn't seem that way to me. So that's number one. So when you see a choice like Mnuchin, right, for me, it wasn't, oh, my goodness, you know, he's going against what he said. To me, I never felt like he really had a thing against the Wall Street parasites. I never felt he was strong on that. So that's number one. Number two, I think people have to understand that the ideology, right? Everyone has a sort of worldview and ideology. And someone like Steve Mnuchin, people like this have an ideology and it's ingrained. It's not like going to switch on a dime because he's with Trump. His ideology is money at all costs, right? There's no thinking about the broader citizenry. There's no, is this a deal where I can make an enormous amount of money by using cronyism and then foreclosing on Americans? It takes a certain individual to do that, particularly an individual whose father was a partner at Goldman Sachs, who was already a partner at Goldman Sachs, who has all this money, right? Remember that, James. When you have a certain amount of money, you can go in a few directions. You can say, hey, I'm going to try to do some good with this money. Or you can say, I am just going to try to get more and more piles of money at all costs to feed my ego. Mnuchin seems to be in that camp. And a person with that kind of ideology is not the kind of person I want as Treasury Secretary.
Oh, but I've read in the profiles on him in the fake news, big establishment media that he's a common attendee in the New York philanthropic circles. So I'm sure that makes him a good person, right?
Right. That resolves everything. And he was the guest, personal guest, by the way, of Stephen Schwartzman the night before the election at a gala. And Schwartzman is as creepy a Wall Street character as any.
Speaking of Schwartzman, dot, dot, dot.
Yeah. Okay. So he was also part of this team, right, that's apparently going to advise Donald Trump on economic matters. Stephen Schwarzman of Blackstone, Larry Fink of BlackRock, and Jamie Dimon of J.P. Morgan. I mean, do your viewers really need to hear anymore? I mean, Schwarzman was a guy who, back at Davos, I wrote a whole post on it. People want to look it up on my site. He was widely quoted and mocked for saying something to the effect of, I don't understand what's going on with Trump and Sanders. Like, why are people upset? You know, he couldn't even fathom how Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton weren't coasting to the nominations. I mean, that's how completely disconnected this person is. And he's going to advise Trump. I mean, he's going to advise Trump on economic matters.
Again, he's going to be the forum chairman on that group. Right. I mean, he's going to be the one directing that. So there you go. Yeah, that's who's going to be bringing back jobs for Trump. All right. Okay. Devil's advocate hat. I got to keep it on. All right. So who are you going to pick? You're not going to pick some kind of outsider. It's got to be a Wall Street insider who's going to head the Treasury. Who else could you possibly pick for a position like that?
Right. So here's the thing, which I find a little ridiculous. Like Donald Trump, I could throw the same argument back at you. Donald Trump is president. I mean, he hasn't been in politics. He hasn't been elected to any office. He hasn't done anything yet. He's president. And so Trump backers are fine with him being president. So if you're okay with Trump being president, you're not okay with someone that's a little outside the box being Treasury Secretary. I mean, sure, it's a difficult job. Being president could be a difficult job. My point is there are thousands of people that understand finance. I know personally in my life of people that I could name that you've never heard of, who I won't name to save them. Who I would be fine with being Treasury Secretary. You know, yes, there's a certain understanding you need to have. Yes, there's tons of people that have that understanding. Let's just take one name I've thrown out there, but there are countless you could name if you wanted to. But Jim Grant of Grant's Interest Rate Observer, and if your viewers aren't familiar with him, he's a very measured, very numbers, very history on Wall Street kind of guy, but he also thinks outside the box. He also has a very ethical grounding to him. So my feeling is the kind of person, people you need in government, particularly at this moment, yes, an understanding of treasury and finance and banking is important. People, plenty of people have that. More important even is an ethical grounding, some sort of understanding of that you want to do the right thing by the people. And Mnuchin is actually the polar opposite of that guy, in my opinion.
All right. So we've talked about the president's advisory committee about getting jobs, and we've talked about Mnuchin. Let's talk about some of the other cabinet picks. For example, Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos. What's her connection to political insiders?
Well, I believe she's a billionaire, first of all, which is interesting, right? But second of all, for draining the swamp, you know, for being a populist candidate, lots of billionaires. But she's also the sister of America's number one mercenary, Eric Prince of Blackwater and Academy and XI or whatever the million names that they changed themselves to. And so it's interesting because I know we were talking before the show a little bit about this. It seems like because Eric Prince was being quoted a lot sort of as a pro-Trump supporter on certain websites before the actual election, it seems that Eric Prince is making a move for a comeback to kind of get back into the United States without being locked up in jail or something, which he should be probably. But and so maybe, you know, through his sister, who is now the Secretary of Education in the Trump administration, Eric Prince is going to come back into the spotlight, which, again, is there a – we already talked about financial swamp creatures. Now we're talking about military, industrial, mercenary, you know, swamp creatures. And that's Eric Prince for you. And his sister is now a member of Trump's cabinet. So that's not so encouraging.
No, it certainly isn't. And it beggars my imagination that I now see outlets that 10 years ago would have been saying Blackwater is evil incarnate are now saying, well, Eric Prince isn't such a bad guy. He's on the good team. It's a very strange inversion that's going on right now. How about Secretary of Commerce Wilbur Ross? Do you know anything about Ross?
So Wilbur Ross, I'm just going to throw out the same sort of thing as, he's known as like a vulture guy. You know, he's known as being, you know, they say restructuring and stuff, but he picks scraps up, you know, makes a lot of money, also a billionaire, I believe. But the one thing I want to throw out there, again, I'm not one of these guys who focuses on the Rothschilds. Like this is this is everything in the world. Like, that's just not my thing, right? I don't go that way. But if you do go that way, and a lot of Trump people do go that way, he worked for 25 years, the Rothschild. So again, if this was a Hillary pick, what would we see? What kind of memes would we see, right? Rothschilds with like strings and then Wilbur Ross and then Trump. But you're not going to see that. from a lot of the Trump people. And one of the things that I want to get out there, because I've been thinking about it a lot, is we all criticize rightly the mainstream media for being sort of infiltrated by power, right? Going to these White House correspondents, dinners, mingling with them. I see what's happened in some alternative areas, and we'll let people be the judge, that Trump has kind of done the same thing by sort of reaching out a hand and saying, you know, like, you know, oh, you're doing great work, right? He's sort of buttered up a lot of some alternative media sites who now feel like they're part of power. And so the moment you do that, you're done. You know, you're a cheerleader. You can't be critical anymore. And one of the things that I really tried to do, because I didn't believe in Hillary and Trump, I mean, if I really liked one of them a lot, I would have supported one of them. But I intentionally was like, I can't emotionally commit to either one of these people, even if I kind of like one a little bit more than the other, because then what are you going to do afterwards? You're going to just be defending your choice. You're going to be emotionally attached to that person. And I see a lot of that right now. People don't want to admit what's going on.
No, they don't. And I think you're right. I mean, any one of these connections people could dismiss. Oh, you know, Rothschild Inc. Oh, so what? You know, Goldman Sachs. Oh, so what? Soros. Oh, so what? Jamie Dimon, J.P. Morgan. Oh, so what? Eric Prince, Blackwater. Oh, so what? It's not one. It's multiple. And it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and worse and worse. And I don't know how people are going to twist themselves into pretzel not supporting it.
Right. Don't forget the transportation secretary, Elaine Chao, who is Mitch McConnell's wife. So it keeps going. You know, like the black hole keeps going.
And we still have some surprises in store, I'm sure, for coming picks. But anyway, it looks like on the economic side, I think we know what side is the bread is being buttered. And it ain't the populist movement side. Let's put it that way. All right, Michael Krieger, thank you for that update. And just tell us a little bit about what else you're working on at the site these days.
Yeah, so basically what I'm trying to do, and I've been very clear like on Twitter to make this clear to people, I'm going to try to fill a void that I see right now. People are so polarized between saying Trump is Hitler or a Nazi, which I completely think is ridiculous. If anything, he's more like an Obama, false messiah for the GOP. And then people who are cheerleading Trump. You know, the truth, from what I can see so far, the truth is going to be somewhere in the middle, most likely. And there are certain things that Trump can do, because I do think he cares about American jobs, that I will applaud. And when he does things that fit into my principles, I will applaud them. When he does things that fit outside of my principles, I will condemn them. And so I'm going to try to be this voice of reason. And like this piece I wrote about Stephen Bannon, if your viewers haven't seen it, again, it does the same thing. I look into him objectively, trying to just say, who is this guy? And he's not what the media is telling you. So anyway, the site is libertyblitzkrieg.com. I'm going to just try to give you my opinion as unbiased as possible and from the point of view of someone who couldn't stand the Clintons and wrote more anti-Hillary articles than almost anyone on the planet, to someone who is not going to cheerlead for Trump. So if you're looking for someone who's going to be in the middle and call it as I see it and not cheerlead a political figure as a savior, then, you know, my website is for you.
You know you're doing something right when the Hillary bots are calling you a shill and the Trump bots are calling you a shill. So, yes, I think that's a good point. There really does need to be that space, because you're right. Some of the anti-Trump stuff is ridiculous and over the top and will not come to fruition, because I still think he'll probably govern like a Democrat. And some of the pro-Trump stuff is ridiculous and over the top, and people are just signing up for anything he does, and it's disgusting. And we'll have to call it out on either side whenever we see it. It's not, it's thankless work, but somebody's got to do it. So I'm glad you're there at libertyblitzkrieg.com. We'll direct people there. The links will be in the show notes as always. Michael Krieger, thank you for your time today.
Thanks, James. It was fun.
The Corbett Report is brought to you by the 2010 Video Archive DVD. Buy your copy today at corbettreport.com.